taken over God's people, and he had deported them from their land to his land. And part of that deportation were three young men. And these three young men had these really funny names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so part of the deportation, part of the story was that King Nebuchadnezzar was setting up some rules. He was establishing the culture. He was developing and framing the environment. So the king is framing the environment. He's developing the culture. He's setting up the rules. And namely, if you just kind of summed it up in one item, he had created this 90-foot tall, 9-foot wide golden statue. It was really to emulate him. And what he was saying to the people, all of the people in under his control, was, I am going to be the most valuable player. I need to be the most valuable player. That's what the culture is going to be. That's what the environment is going to be. That's what the rule is going to be. And so we are demanding you worship. We're demanding you be allegiant. We have allegiance to. We're demanding compliance and conformity to this culture and this environment. And so what they did was they called all the important people together, and they all held a news conference. Does that sound familiar? And they dedicated the big statue, and then they sounded the horn, and the musicians started playing to recognize that worship was expected now. And they said, if you don't, we've got a plan for you too. If you don't conform to the culture, if you do not fall inside the frame of the environment that we're setting up, we've got a plan for you as well. Well, we had mentioned that there was these three young men that were also deported into this place, and they weren't trying to draw any unnecessary attention to themselves. They had just chosen to have a different most valuable player. And so somebody noticed that their most valuable player was different than the rest of everybody else's most valuable player. Everybody was kind of focused on this golden statue. And then there was these three Jewish boys, Hebrew boys, had chosen a different most valuable player. And so, as happens sometimes, somebody kind of ran to the king and said, there are these guys, and they're not following. It actually says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 12, they neither serve your gods nor worship the image of God you have set up. And so the king was furious. He said, listen, I can't stand for this disloyalty. I must have a reckoning with these boys. And so he calls the boys into his presence and he says, listen, I'm going to give you one last chance. Will you bow down to me? Will you bow down to the hysteria? Will you bow down to the new culture? Will you bow down to the new environment? Will I be your MVP during this crazy time? And if you have your Bibles open, one of the most powerful words in this whole passage is found in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. It said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. Now, friends, how are you and I replying to the present culture? Replying to the present environment? How are we replying to the hysteria, the demand for a new most valuable player? No, we're hearing all this stuff that you've got to be anxious. You've got to be uncertain. You've got to be worrying. What is our reply to the environment? What is your reply to the culture? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's most valuable player wasn't the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's most valuable player was God. The most valuable player wasn't their lives or their reputation or their comfort. or their access to freedom or their way of life or their temporary sacrifice. That all was secondary to their most valuable player. Their most valuable player was God. And so let's read together in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, and we can see what their true reply was. It stopped. All right. Sorry for that technical difficulty, but we're going to continue on. So I think where we left off was this idea of how we were going to reply. The most important words in one of the most important words in this entire story in Daniel chapter 3 is that we see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they replied to the hysteria. They replied to what the king was asking in conformity to frame the environment and the culture that was being set up. And the way that we reply, how are you and I replying to the hysteria? How are we replying to the ask to be conformed and to be anxious and to be worried and to be concerned and to be worrying about what's coming next? And we can learn a lot from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because their most valuable player wasn't their life or their reputation or their comfort or their access to freedom or their way of life or their temporary sacrifice. That wasn't their most valuable player. That wasn't what they were trying to most protect. Their most valuable player was God in the midst of the hysteria. And so I wonder this week, as you think about your reply to the present circumstances, and you think about what is most valuable to you, maybe we could learn something from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And let's look at verse 16 through 18 and see what it is that and how they reply. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Verse 17, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of gold you have set up. And so basically what the boys are saying is, listen, we will not bow down to the hysteria. We will not bow down to the new culture and the new environments. Now, I need to say here, this is in no way saying that we in any way should be revolting or not following the directions that our government is giving us. I'm just saying, on the inside, what is our reply? Are we anxious? Are we nervous? Or are we settled on our most valuable player? Because they're saying, listen, our most valuable player is going to see us through this. It doesn't matter if you throw us in the pit, if God doesn't rescue or he does rescue us, we're going to trust in our most valuable player. Even if he doesn't, we'll face the consequences because we're not giving into the culture and the environment and the hysteria. Church, we need to realize who and what is our most valuable player, our MVP. And here's why it is. If you're sleeping, if you went to get an extra bowl of cereal, you want to call someone back in from the kitchen. Because here it is. The reason why your most valuable player is so important right now is because this. What you and I bow down to, we will be bound to. What we worship will have control in our life. And so if we are bowing down to hysteria, if we're bowing down to worry, and we're bowing down to uncertainty, we're going to be bound by that. That's what's going to have control in our life. And so it's not about saying, listen, they said only have 10 people. We're going to rebel and we're going to have 13 people. No, it's not that. It's saying, listen, if we bow down, if we worship the culture of, oh my goodness, this could be the greatest thing ever and it's going to kill millions. Listen, we're going to trust because we're not going to be bound by our fears. We're not going to be bound by our worry. So we're not going to bow down to that. We're not going to worship that. We're not going to spend our time worrying about it because we don't want to be controlled by it. And so what's so awesome, and you need to just read this, I hope you're reading along with me at home, is that these three boys reply to the king, and he gets furious, it says. He takes them to the furnace. He tells them that it should be seven times hotter. He gets the strongest men to bind them up. He throws them in quick, and he assumes that there's going to be destruction. And church, friends, in times like this, when the fire is on, the heat is turned up, the urgency is present, there's restrictions, there's limited freedom. When the MVP gets tested and its quality is evaluated. See, listen, it's really easy to be a follower of the Lord. It's easy to say, I go to church or I believe in God. But when the heat is on, the quality of your MVP gets tested. And we know this, that toilet paper isn't going to get it done. Money isn't going to get it done. Your career isn't going to get it done. Government isn't going to get it done. No economic stimulus is ever going to be enough when we're in the furnace. It's not going to make it. And so we must believe that God is our true most valuable player in times like this. You know as well as I do that we're only at day 7 of our 15-day journey to try to space out the spread. And so when we go through various trials, and this is something I'm learning, that as you go through various and different trials, God has a way of giving you diverse and many graces in the moment. I read a poem this week by Annie Johnson Flynn. It said this: He gives more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sends more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he adds his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplied peace. And so in the Daniel chapter 3 story, they had furnace grace. I wonder if we can flip the script on Corona. And we can look back at this time and talk about our Corona grace. Not the coronavirus, but that grace that God gave us in the midst of this present trial. Because what happens in the story in verse 25 is that they're thrown in the furnace and everyone's looking to see if they're burned up. And not only are they not burned up, they multiply. They went from 3 to 4, I guess that's adding, not multiply. I've been out of school for like 2 weeks. And so they went from 3 to 4, and they're no longer bound. They're no longer harmed. They are brought through the fire, and then they're brought out of the fire. I want you to believe that today. We're going through something in order to be brought out of something. And what happened in this story will happen in your workplace. It will happen in your neighborhood. It will happen in our communities and our nation. Other people will start noticing something different about us. See, when they were all looking into the furnace to see if the boys were burned up, and they started noticing there's something was different. There isn't 3 there. There's 4 now. And not only are they not burned up, they're walking around. The people started gathering and wondering why what happened to everyone else in the culture, in the environment, wasn't happening to these three boys. They weren't burned up. They didn't lose their hair. Their clothing was intact, and they didn't smell like the environment in the hysteria. They didn't smell like the fire. And so what these boys showed us, and what the lesson is and the challenge is for all of us today, is that even though times are changing and instructions are changing and the normal is changing and today is changing versus yesterday, God will not change. He is here. He is waiting. He is working. He is faithful. He is sustaining. He is hope. He is love. He is joy. And let me share something with you about your relationship with God. Your relationship with God is so that you will have joy in the good times, and in the difficult times, you will be able to overcome. The promise is never that we'll have joy all the time or it'll always be great, but that when we go through difficult times, they will be overcomable. I'm making up words. That we'll have joy in life, but in difficult times, we'll have overcomable grace. The relationship with God only gets strengthened when it gets tested and stretched. And that's what this is. Our most valuable player is getting tested. And as I close this morning, I want to remind you something that may be easily overlooked in this story, is that these boys did this in relationship and in friendship. But this story isn't about one person, it's about three people. And so what I want to encourage us before we close this message is that we need to stay connected. And that's why these church gatherings with Pastor Bryce on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are so important. Yeah, it might be, oh, this is kind of funny. It doesn't feel right. Why I'm on a computer? Why I'm on this screen? But it's about staying connected. It's about staying convicted. Don't get dull in this period of awkwardness. We need to stay connected. We need to stay convicted. And we certainly need to stay conscientious. Look around and see the needs that God is showing you around you that you can safely meet. I received a correspondence from our bishop, Linda Adams, this week. And in that correspondence, she ended it saying this: Bryce, be blessed as you ride this new and scary wave. You know how to surf. And I thought, man, she believes in me and she believes in her pastors. But then I immediately thought, well, I know how to surf because I know what I'm surfing on. I know what I'm trusting in. I know what I'm placing my weight upon. I know what is I'm allowing to carry me through these present waves. And that's my most valuable player. That's my relationship with the one true God. And so, yes, we're all learning. But what is different about some of us is some of us are riding and trusting and allowing to carry us through this with different things. Some of us are trying to see if we have enough money to carry us through. Some of us are wondering if we have enough friends on Facebook to carry us through. But what we need to know is, do we have the one true God in relationship with us? And so I ask you today, will you place value in your relationship with God? Will you ride upon? Will you trust in? Will you let God carry you through this season? Because what's valuable is when possession is in question. And so today, what possession is in question today is, do we have a relationship with God? Will He be trusted to carry us through this season? Let's pray. God, today, even in the midst of a technical hiccup, Lord, I believe that your word has been released and is powerful. And I pray, Lord, that the truth from your word today has impacted our hearts and our minds and our soul and our spirit. And that all over this land, all over this viewership, all over our faith family and their friends and their extended family, whoever's going to have a chance to watch this now and watch this days from now, I pray that each one of us would make a commitment to follow and trust in you. That you would be our most valuable player in this season. Father, we want to possess a relationship with you that is beyond us so that we can trust you to carry us through. We believe in Jesus' name that you are able to carry us through. Father, I pray for those here today that do not have any relationship with you. And Father, today I realize that to have a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. And so today, God, we recognize that we have all messed up. We've all sinned and we've all fallen short of God's perfection, and that definitely separates us. But today, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us. We thank you for dying on the cross for us to erase our sin, to free us from the bondage. And we ask you, please, today, would you please come and guide us through this season? Let us be the ones that people look upon and say, there's something different about them. They're handling this crisis, this hysteria, this worry, this doubt, this fear differently than us. Lord, I pray that your witness in the testimony of your people will be powerful in these days. We love you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to consider joining us this Monday, tomorrow night, 7 p.m., for a church gathering where we'll be praying together. Wednesday, we'll be looking at God's word together, and Friday, we'll just be talking. And I'm just looking forward to next Sunday being right back here. Same way we did it this week, we're going to do it next week. And we believe God's going to do something even in the midst of this crisis. We love you, and we hope that you have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.